All right, let's open our Bibles. We have much to cover tonight, and I'm thankful for the Spirit that will allow us to go. Praise His name. So, tonight we come to this 11th chapter. And I do want to make mention again, so love this study, and I'm grateful to God. There's such detail and beautiful things in the Revelation. And brothers and sisters, just remember, and I mean this so sincerely, I know we have the expression, you haven't even scratched the surface. Well, let me tell you something. We see a glass darkly. We haven't even touched that yet. What's in here and what's going to be revealed and all of the details and the precious encouragements, I'm going to have a body like unto His own glorious body to really enjoy it. And praise be to God, He's going to give me just that. So, in that, He still gives us these things to abound in hope and just again to truly dream, to have that vision. And He's really encouraged my heart. And as we've spoken about, where do you see this from? You know, where are you seeing your place here? You know, are you seeing something happen before you in a sense of, you know, I'm standing back here with John. I don't want to stand here with John and look at these things happen. And I don't want to be looking up at the throne. I'm no offense to anybody that wants to take that place. But my thing is the Lord's thing. And the Lord's thing is we're in the day, praise God, of the one thing. The thing that Brother Paul said, if by any means thing, that we would rule and reign jointly together with Him in the midst of the throne, to be glorified with Him, to fully give Him all glory as His all-glorious bride. Praise God. And what an encouragement and excitement. So in that, I know by the grace of God there is so much sweet detail. And as the Spirit will give us utterance in going through these things, I still will encourage, don't get caught up in a tree where you miss the forest. Don't get caught up in a sign or an event where you miss the whole purpose of the events. And that's Him. And praise the Lord. So these are just encouragements as we go. And I'm thankful to the Lord so greatly that He has us here tonight. So in this 11th chapter, we have another wonderful encouragement that is given to John in a vision as he's taken up into heaven. And the Spirit is showing him another time of events, and it's for us who believe and what will happen during this wonderful tribulation time. Now, once again, as we've done many times in this study before, we're going to go back to an event that takes place at the beginning of the tribulation. So here we go in the 11th chapter, and we're going to open it right back up at the beginning of the tribulation, right after the first trumpet sound, right after the bride is taken. And again, nothing's going to happen until she's taken. Nothing of this tribulation time will even begin to unfold until he says to her, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Praise God. So, tonight, which is so precious about this vision, is once again we see an emphasis of God's undying love for Israel. This is a very intimate time. For His people, His special care for them. As the Word of God says, He's not slack concerning His promise. Now know this, not just for Israel, but know this for you. Know these things for you. I'm praying that there be so much type and shadow, not of just what is to come, but what is ours now. And how powerful this Word of God is to us now. And how effectually and powerful it works in them that believe right now. And praise God for this. But He's not slack concerning His promise. As God says, His promises are yea and amen. And at this tribulation time, we're going to see Him turning back, truly. He begins to turn back to Israel at this time. And the Gentiles, again, it's coming to a close. And tonight we're going to thrill about these two messengers that He specifically sends to, in a sense, minister to His people, to encourage them truly in the darkest time that will ever come upon the earth. And I think how wonderful again, the Father's great love for His unfaithful wife. Isn't that something? The Father's great love for His unfaithful wife, Israel. And she will return faithful again to Him. Praise God. So let's go ahead and read the entire 11th chapter, and then we'll go back and let the Spirit minister to us. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And again, this was given to John, and the angel stood. And this angel that gives this reed is Jesus. It's a continuation, again, of what happened in the 10th chapter. But at the angel, it said, stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles. In the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. That means 3.5 years. That's what that would total. These are the two olive trees, the two candlesticks standing before God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all the plagues as often as they will. Praise God. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, that's Jerusalem, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe comes quickly. And the 7th angel sounded. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give rewards unto the servants, and to the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroyed the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. Praise the Lord. A lot happening in the 11th chapter, I'd say. Praise God, that's what happens when he takes you all the way through the tribulation and then even gets you into the millennial time. Whew. Amen? All right, praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful how he puts this in order? Because a lot of times I was just visiting with a sister and, you know, some people, well, we're going to do this chronological and all. I want to do it God's way. How's that, you know? And when you study it this way, it's like, it truly is. It's like the most beautiful, well, like I say, when you're stunningly in love with someone and you see their beauty and you see them from this angle in the daytime and then you see them at nighttime and then you're sitting down looking up and then you might be up on a banister looking. It's all of these different angles of the beauty of our Lord and the beauty of the love story, praise God, of what he has for us and this vision of what we will have with him. It's amazing, praise God. So, you know, we're kind of reading about our honeymoon in a way. Remember Song of Solomon? Amen. So praise God. It's a wonderful time. Now, so the recap is the bride's been taken and God's precious word is going to be given as it is even today. But the reason that the word has got to be given in such power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost with these two witnesses is because there is needed great encouragement in such a dark time. So we begin here in this 11th chapter with the reed that was given by Jesus to John to measure the temple. And it's wonderful because he measures the temple, the altar, and all that worship therein. Now, this time of ministry and worship is the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. This was also told by Daniel. That's this 1260 days that we read here that these two witnesses minister to God's people in the tribulation. Now, as we start this, let's remember that the Jews will have freedom to worship in the temple for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Do you recall, as we know, that at the beginning of the tribulation, the Antichrist will come in and he will make a peace accord with Israel. And he will give them that 7-year peace agreement. But within the middle of that 7 years, this 3.5 year time, he's going to break that. And what we have here is this 3.5 years that they are going to be allowed to worship in the temple. And specifically, you'll notice it's in the temple because the court, it says, is without. It's not going to be measured because that's symbolic of where the Gentiles now, during this 3.5 years, they're going to go after complete apostasy. They're going to be rampant and again and incensed with this ungodliness that continues to come throughout the earth. This is why, again, the whole world wonders after this Antichrist. This, again, one that comes in and wins with lies. But I'm excited about this time. I see Israel even feeling a little bit more comfortable in this day, in this time. Who knows? It might be empowered here shortly that somehow, some way, they're going to say, well, it's peace and plenty. Let's go ahead and sign us a peace agreement. Might be tomorrow. Might even be tonight. Who knows? Praise God. You don't know the happenings, but I know who does. Praise his name. And the other thing I do know is what will happen. Praise God. So, you see, these Jews, again, they're going to have this freedom. But the Antichrist is going to enter in into this agreement with them. And again, the peace will follow for 7 years, but he's going to break it in the middle of the week because the Antichrist is not going to allow them to worship anymore. And more than that, he's going to require that he be worshipped as God. He's going to take that place. The sacrifice is going to stop. That's in Daniel 9:27. And then the Gentiles, it says, will trot underfoot the temple for the 42 months until God sweeps in with his final judgment in Armageddon. See, everybody thinks they're going to be getting away with all this stuff, but they're not. And they're going to be really on the clock because even the devil knows when he's cast out, he says he's got but a short time. See, he's so stupid right now, he doesn't even know. He just thinks he's running wild and loose and all that. God's got him on a chain. Always does. But at this time, he's going to know he's got a short time. That's why it's a roaring lion time. Now, getting back to this reed or this staff that measures. We know that's the word of God. We know, as David said, thy rod and thy staff, it's with me, it comforts me. Hallelujah, isn't it? Because that's the word of God. Well, and it's the perfect word of God. And the perfect word of God measures everything. But see, the word of God, I want us to always be encouraged. It's not only a measuring, but it's so beyond that. The word of God brings growth to the fullness and the measure and the stature of Jesus Christ. See, that's the word of his grace, isn't it not? That's truth in love. See, truth will always just be so harsh in a sense if it's alone and, well, we're going to measure and we're going to do this. But truth in love will grow you up in that truth. It gives you that abounding hope. It gives you the reality of the love of God in your life that wants more than anything for that truth to grow in your life. Amen. It's not there to hit you with this rule. It's this measuring that, again, I always think of it as Brother Hill used to talk about, even the cooking and the different things, all of the ingredients that go in. You know, if they were isolated, sometimes they really don't taste very good. But boy, when they all get in there, they make this perfection of this wonderful meal. Well, it's just like all of the perfection of what God, again, is increasing in our lives and all of the things that he puts in to make us perfect and complete for him. And I love that. I'm encouraged in that because of his great grace. But see, his word brings that growth. And his word, by these two little wonderful encouragements, these ministers will minister to those Jews at this time that will hear and be comforted. See, it's there for them. The word of God, he's so gracious. And again, these two witnesses immediately are going to be sent at the rapture of the bride. Again, the Lord so faithful to comfort his people. Isn't it wonderful? It's marvelous. He's always there to comfort, isn't he? You think of like he did with the disciples. You know, he told them, he ministered to them. He did everything to encourage them, but you're not listening. But he didn't give up on them, did he, at all? And he loved them so much. And then here he would visit with them again. And there was Thomas, who even after he was ministered to again, after the fact, by his brethren, to said, he's here, he's fine. Well, I'm not going to believe him until I put my hands and fingers in the holes of his hands. And what did Jesus do? He appeared to him. Come on over here, Thomas. Let's just get her done. I'm here. I want you to believe. See, but again, he comforts us, doesn't he? And he doesn't comfort us in a sense with signs and all of these different things. It's always his word. It's his ministering word. And that's the beauty of what we take even right now. This isn't just for someday. This is for our lives. This is how God works. And this is what the Lord so sweetly gives to us. So we see that these two that are given, they're given power, aren't they? And this is the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. This is some awesome stuff. And it first speaks of these that there's two. So we have two, which is important in the Word of God, because that is the sufficient witness. We read that there's not only two of them, but they're clothed in sackcloth. That sackcloth speaks of sorrow. It speaks of oppression. See, they are sent in a time of great sorrow and oppression. And are they, in a sense, are they armed with arms and they're an army? No. Are they armed with food and money? No. They're armed with the greatest power and the only power there is, the Word of God. They're armed with everything. The only thing that's needed for God's people is the Word of God. That's it. Because everything else will follow. He's the increase in everything. But if you miss the Word of God, you've missed everything. It's that, you know, we could have all of the fatness and all of the things that we want and we think are fat in life, but that'll only send what? Leanness to our soul. Amen? And see, this is why God, and again, he's showing this to us even right now in our lives. Amen? That by the grace of God, get the Word of God. You want your life to be better. You want you to be on track. You want to have those bold steps. More truth. More truth. More truth. Because I'm going to tell you, in this life, no matter who it is, you're going to hit patchy times. You're going to hit times that are hard. You're going to have health issues. You're going to have relationship issues. You're going to have financial issues. Some have them more than others. I don't know. God knows. Amen. But in that, when you face these things with the Word of God, you're more than a conqueror through Christ who loved you. Amen. You know this. You know the plan of God. You get this, that praise the Lord, this is for my good. This isn't here to bury me. This is to have me seated in the midst of the throne, glorified together with you. It's specifically for eternity's best. That's what's so incredible about the Word of God. And again, to these brethren that are, again, it's after the first trump, and they're even being ministered to. There's some that are even going to come to the Lord at this time. God is faithful to give them the abundance of abounding hope at the time to give them the best that they can possibly have. That's our God. And he hits them with the full encouragement of the power of the Holy Ghost in those two ministers that he sends to them. Isn't that amazing? So we're so thankful for this witness and this comfort that God gives. But you'll notice here that they prophesy, don't they? Well, they're speaking the Word of God. That's what they're doing. You speak the Word of God, that's the prophecy. What else are they going to tell them except for the events that are here in Revelation? This is the Word of God. There's nothing to be added or taken away. This is it. And it's going to fully comfort them. Praise be to God, because if you're going to believe the Lord at that time, think of this. They're going to be these witnesses, and they're going to be reading this about themselves ministering to them at that time. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that not what we have? That we have Paul's gospel that is witnessing to us right now about the bridal message that God has given to us at this time? What's the difference? There is no difference, praise the Lord, is there? Because it's the Word of God. But you can see how powerful that will be. And they're going to need that encouragement. They're going to need, in a sense, going back to that time almost of in Israel, because it's very much a plague-like time, isn't it? Like when God took them out of Egypt. They needed those signs. They needed those wonders and those types because, again, of what they knew in the Lord and their faith at that time. Now do you see how much faith he's given you? Huh? Praise God. Great, the greatest faith. The greatest faith by the grace of God. The most holy set apart is to have that faith that takes that place of his bride. Amen. Praise God. You know it. Think of this world we live in. Most anti-God, and we've got everything to replace God. There is time, isn't it? All the conveniences, all the monies, all of the automation, all of the knowledge and education that even tells us to try to completely eliminate God. And yet, you're not only going to believe there is God, but there's God, praise the Lord, the Son, that wants you to be his wife. That's faith, praise God. And he's getting her done, hallelujah, because of his grace. Now, here we go. Those that believe in this time, they will have abounding hope. And the reason is because the word of God. They'll believe it. They'll see these things. And just because you'd say, well, my goodness, how could they not believe? Well, there'll be a lot that won't believe. Because you're going to say, how could they not believe when they have these two messengers, these ministers, these lights that are pouring forth the word of God and doing these miracles? They still will not believe, the majority. Though one rise from the dead, they will not believe. They have eyes, they see not. They have ears, and they hear not. Amen. That same evil is the same evil. Praise the Lord. Go back and think about those that knew that he rose from the dead, and they were paying the soldiers. Tell them that the disciples stole him away. That's evil. And it exists today. Yes. So, these two are called the olive trees. That means they're anointed with the Holy Ghost. They're called candlesticks, which speaks of lights in a darkened place. And what do these candlesticks do? They stand. Isn't that sweet? That's all they do, is they stand. It's not a fancy thing. They just stand, withstand, and having done all, they stand. And they're lit up. Are you standing and lit up? Praise God. That's what he's looking for. Praise the Lord. A pillar in the house of the Lord. See, and he's the one that does all the lighting. And again, that's just that love that he sheds abroad in our hearts. So, when you think of this, that these are called the candlesticks, it kind of gives me some thought back of the seven candlesticks in Revelation 1. And remember, those are the seven churches. So, I've heard people say, well, how do you know these two witnesses are just two people? Well, I really don't. They might be two ministering companies. I don't really necessarily know. I'm not going to argue with you over that. Why should we? That's stupid. Because now we're getting again into the vessel as opposed to the power of the Spirit in the vessel. Amen? See, that's the thing. And notice here, it's the power, it's the fire of the Word of God that comes out of their mouth. Did you hear that? What's the power and the fire that's coming out of your mouth? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do we not live in the time of the Holy Ghost power? Do we not live in the time of the infilling of the Holy Ghost and the fullness of the Holy Ghost? Believe him. Believe him. I love that, as he told Joshua. Joshua, I'll be with you as I was with Moses. Don't worry. Do you believe him? You believe him? Amen. Praise God. Let's believe him. Thank you, Jesus. So, they have power to stop the rain. They have power to cast forth plagues. Some have said that these are the prophets resurrected. Well, I guess they could be as foolish as the time of John the Baptist when they said, well, see, Elijah's come. No, it says, it's not the vessel, but it's the Spirit and the power of the Lord in the vessel. Praise God. See, the Word of God, and I thank the Lord for this, even talks about, well, and how the Lord's given us the Apostle Paul. We don't idolize and worship the Apostle Paul. Not at all. He's just a man. Just a man. But we follow Paul as he followed Christ. Because Paul was given that message. And then, as the Word of God tells us, we mark them that follow Paul as he followed Christ. Amen? And it's not the vessel. It's that truth and love that we follow. That's what it is. It's that faith. Praise God. And that's what's so wonderful, again, that we're encouraged in this, is that these are witnessing, and they have that same Christ in them that is all the power, all of that great encouragement. See, God help us never to look at any man. And see, God shuts that down time and time again, just like he did with the disciples when they were going to build the altar to Moses and Elijah and to Jesus. God said, nope. It's the Word. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. And that's it. Jesus Christ. That is the power of God. Now, in verse 7, it says here, when they finish their testimony. Isn't that sweet? See, Jesus, the author and finisher, always completes his will. Always. That's it. It's going to be done. It's the word of the Lord. And when it is finished, and then, and only then, when it is finished, does he order for them, and it's his order, it's his will that that would be, they'll be killed by Satan. Then, once again, this should give us such peace about our own lives and, brothers and sisters, our own keeping. Praise God. Not a hair of our head. This is the same thing. And what is the Lord doing in your life right now? He's authoring and finishing your faith. And what is he authoring and finishing with? The Word of God, amen? That's the care that's going into our lives, the Word of God. Praise God. That's the hope and the confidence and the abounding that we have, no matter where we're at in life, no matter what has happened, by the grace of God, continue to believe him. Lord, apply that word. Let me believe that word. Let that word be alive and living in me. That's the love of the truth. And the word works effectually like dynamite power in them that believe. So sweet, isn't it? Not them that were good, not them that work so hard, not them, that you believe it. Praise God. And how does faith work? By love, by love. Amen. Faith worketh by love. He loves you. See, you're never going to use the word. Abuse it. Can't. And only before the truth. I always appreciated Brother McLamb saying that. Not going to be against that truth. I love that. But see, that's that faith which works by love. Thank you, Jesus. That's the believing power. Now, verse 8. It says that these two are going to be killed, and they're going to be killed in Jerusalem. And verse 9 and 10 show us and reveal the rampant wickedness at this time. Brothers and sisters, those that do not want to hear the word of God, when they hear it, they're tormented. And that isn't just for that day. That's for right now. You know those people that get along with you and everything's fine? And then somehow, some way, the Lord just has the word come out. The word happened. And that buddy that was just so happy with you and all of these things, it's just immediate hate. And it is. And you pray for people where there's situations that are like that. It's the same old story. I've heard of people that, you know, their kids, oh, yeah, you can go here, you can go there, go find the Word of God yourself and all of this. And they go find, well, I'll tell you what, when those kids really find truth and love, you can't go there. Because the Word, you can't be neutral. It's going to provoke you one way or the other. Is going to provoke you to more love, or it's going to provoke you to more hate. And that's the truth. You can't be neutral with Jesus. You can't be neutral with his word. We can't be neutral with his word, can we? It's called chastening. Amen. You can't. You get in neutral, it ain't going to happen. Mm-mm. Nope. And I'm thankful to God and his love that he continues to pursue us in that. So we see that there's torment And in a way, a literally gnashing of teeth by these people of the world because of the preaching of Jesus. That's all that's going on is the preaching of Jesus. And they continue to buck against it and buck against it. And the Lord so sweetly gives these two ministering witnesses. He gives them the power to stop the rain. He gives them the power over the waters to turn them to blood, to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. That's awesome. And yet they still won't believe. I think there was a guy named Pharaoh like that, wasn't he? And why didn't he believe? Because he hardened his heart. See what happens? That's all. That's all it takes is a hardening of the heart. And you're going to miss every miracle. You're going to miss all the power of God. And you're going to just continue to fight it. But there will be payday. And it'll come. And see, the word always affects the wicked. Don't think it don't. As we see in this country today, it affects the wicked. And that's just the way it's always been, always will be. But know, again, who protects you, just like in protecting these two witnesses. God's not going to allow anything to happen to them. As a matter of fact, those that pursue them to hurt them, they're going to be hurt with that by the fire that proceeds out of their mouth. And that fire that proceeds out of their mouths is the word of the Lord. There's nothing more powerful. Because, again, how is this whole thing wrapped up? The sword. The word. Amen. So it is, it's the word. Praise God. So the world rejoices over these dead bodies. But that's going to be a very short rejoicing, is it not? I love that anyways, because it really is a type and shadow. You know, they may think they're getting by with it, but there's coming a judgment day. But this will be shown that it'll be a very short time, and it's going to be a short-lived time that's going to be met with horror because of the rejecting of Christ Jesus. And it's going to be a horror that begins and will never end and only exceedingly get worse all the way through forever in the lake of fire. Amen. So just as Jesus, and you think about that on each of the spectrums, we're going into the day that will never end of the exceeding riches of his grace. It will only multiply and multiply more. And I'm going to tell you, it'll be the same for the lake of fire. That torment will only multiply and multiply more. He's God. So, just as Jesus was raised, here they're raised too. Isn't that wonderful? And the same power, the same might, the same eternal life. And these two stand on their feet. I love that. They don't just, you know, stand. Time to go, brother. Time to go. Hallelujah. And it is time to go. And what a joy it is and what a thrill to see this all transpire. Because just as those that hated Jesus, and they hated Jesus at that time when he was crucified because he wasn't found in the tomb. They hated him because he is risen. And oh my, they even hate more because these two have risen. Yes, it's the same. So in the 12th verse here, isn't that wonderful? And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, and know that trump is always a voice. We've been reading about that, okay? Don't think it's just a trumpet's blast. It's him. It's him. And this is that same precious Lord that will call us home someday. Come up hither. Isn't that wonderful? Come up hither. Go look that up. You'll just thrill those encouraging words in the Greek. I'll let you do that. That'll be good for you and thrill your heart tonight as you lay your head down. So, he calls another company home, and the enemies, it says, their enemies, they see it. And right when this happens in verse 13, an earthquake hits. There's always an earthquake that hits when God's all-powerful word is unleashed. Amen? I felt like an earthquake hit me when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? So, but there's an all-powerful earthquake hitting again. Just as with Jesus' death. Remember, Jesus died in that earthquake and all of the different things. So this isn't hard for God. He does this. He lets the, you know, let me tell you something. There's a groaning in all of creation. And God will get it to groan as he wants it to groan. But there's much destruction at this time. There's people dying. But did you notice here what was so sweet? And the remnant in the 13th verse, even though the people were dying, the earthquake was going, it said the remnant, they were frightened. But what happened? They gave God glory to the God of heaven. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord, because it was the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. They fed upon that word, even though it was a little shocking, a little fearful. Wait a second, this is what the guys were preaching about all the time. They just went into heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wonderful. Get there in our hearts, Lord. We're going to see this. Praise the Lord. And oh, what a double portion we'll have as we see it play out. Praise God. So the remnant will be those. Matter of fact, in that remnant, remember Revelation 6:9, the saints that are under the altar, this is that remnant. These are these ones that praise God, that after the innumerable multitude, after the 144,000 are taken, these ones will continue to receive the word of God. They'll be killed for it. Some of them will be the saints under the altar. Some of them will go even through the millennium. But this is what's so precious here. Now, at this point, the second woe is past. So let's think about the first, second, and the third woe. We've read about the first woe, the second woe, and the third woe in about the last few weeks here. So the first woe was 250 days before the middle of the tribulation. And what was basically the event of that was the 144,000 being taken up into heaven. So that was the end of our first woe. Then we got into our second woe, which is right now happening 100 days before the middle of the week. And now that second woe ends at the time that the two witnesses are raptured into heaven. And now comes in the third woe, which marks the middle of the week. And now we enter into the great tribulation time. Praise God. So that's, I believe, in a simple fashion. There's some days in there that fit right in. But again, I think that gets it in a very good cookie on a shelf understanding. So let's notice here with each of these woes, it keeps getting to be a darker and a darker time. And why does it become a darker and darker time? It's because more and more saints are leaving the earth. That's the truth. It's getting darker all the time. Just the lights, they're starting to leave more and more. So once again, take heart. Without the word of God in our lives and bubbling over in our lives, there's sorrow that moves in very quickly. And when I say sorrow, not the sorrow where there's hope, just kind of down. So again, thanks be to God we're in a Bible study tonight. Thanks be to God we're hearing the word of God tonight. Thanks be to God that this is our story. Hallelujah. This is ours. This is, again, the life that we have been given. This is for us. Now, as we wrap this up tonight, beginning in verse 15, this moves very quickly through the whole, basically, what we come through in this is we come through the whole tribulation time. And then I believe, as we'll see even in the 18th and 19th verse, we get some encouragement here that this even moves through the millennial time. So let's just kind of look at this and give God the glory as we rejoice. But let's go ahead and read the 15th verse again. It says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." So now this is a fast forward to the end of the tribulation time. Christ truly has taken his throne. He's got his wife. They together have ruled and reigned through the tribulation and will continue throughout all eternity. And here is this seventh angel. He's speaking. And praise be to God, we know that that is the bridal company. Praise be to God, we know that these voices, hallelujah, that have been echoing all since Ezekiel, telling us about the cherubim back then. Praise be to God, this is playing out in living color right now. And it's just beautiful. But then in verses 16 and 17, we get the 24 elders. And now we get the 24 elders kind of isolated in a sense by themselves, that God has graced them in this picture that we have here. And it is so fitting and so precise, because where are they sitting again? They're sitting before God, aren't they? Amen? See, they're before him. We saw them again. They were round about the throne. Now they're seated before the throne. It's a precious thing. But different again from the four living ones that are in the midst of the throne. And it's sweet because they fall on their faces to worship. And let's take encouragement of that. Because those Old Testament full overcomers, they're the worshipers. They were the worshipers then. Hallelujah. They loved the word of the Lord, did they not? They loved that word. They believed that word. They were like that, those precious brothers, you know, when they were faced with the giants in the land, them spies, they came back and they said, oh my goodness, the majority of them said, oh, we can't get in there. They got giants in the land and all of these things. But those two sweet brothers, they said, oh no, we're well able to take this. Let's get in there right now. See, those are lovers of truth. Those are ones that love the word of God. That was David, even as that young kid. You know, those all them fearful ones and all of that about Goliath. He sat in there and said, what are you doing? This is embarrassing. You should be ashamed of yourself. You know, this little runty kid. And who is this uncircumcised fellow? Who is this one blaspheming the word of God? You know, God give us boldness in that, amen? And we need to have that boldness all the time. And especially in this day and age, because there's a lot of uncircumcised Philistine out there, is there not? They're blaspheming our God all the time. That's not that I need to go out there and pick a fight. Let me tell you something, God will bring the fight. He'll bring it on. I don't need to go out there and try to find it. But he'll bring it. But by the grace of God, let's not be as all the other soldiers in that army. Well, let's kind of sit back here and, you know, I don't feel like it today. Get out there. Run into it. Praise God. He'll give you what to say. Do you believe he gives you utterance? When you get in trouble is when you start thinking about what you're going to say. You ever done that? Well, here's how I'm going to go testify to this guy. And it was a mess. And then you sat there and, you know, somehow the grace of God that's with you, you know, here, okay, son, are you done? Okay, here we go. And then boom, the guy gives his heart to the Lord. Well, how about that, huh? Okay, Skippy, you know, just like, whatever. But, you know, it just is amazing, his great love. But see, these Old Testament worthies of faith, they're the worshipers, just like the New Testament full overcomers. They're the worshipers. And God help us, again, to want that worship in our life and that love and that encouragement, that we draw nigh in fervent love to kiss our Lord in everything. And they praise him. He's Alpha, Omega, art, west, and art to come. That's what that is. So encouraged there. Now, getting into verse 18 as we wrap this up. It says, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. And the time of the dead, this is very important here in this statement here, the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give rewards unto thy servants, and to the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldst destroy them which destroy the earth. Now this really takes us into this completeness of all the wrath of God. And I'm talking about the fire that will devour the nations in Revelation 20 verse 9. And in 20 verse 9, we have basically at that time, we get through to the time when Satan is loosed after he's put into the bottomless pit. See, at the end of the 7-year period of time, Satan is bound. He's put into the bottomless pit. And so we have the millennium that goes through for the 1,000 years. And then at the end of that 1,000 years, right at that end, he's going to be loosed for a season. And he's going to deceive the nations again. And they're going to follow after him again. And they're going to come up against God's people. And they're going to surround them. And then, bam, God's going to just shut it all down. It's over. All right? And this sweet encouragement here is this devouring of the nations. And it says here, and here specifically, as it says here in the 18th verse, that the dead should be judged. Well, the dead are judged in that final judgment, because the sea gives up the dead and all of that dead, in chapter 20, verse 13. And that's when they stand before that great white throne of judgment. And they're going to be judged according to their works. And right there, again, it's going to be that all that was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's completely gone. What a glorious day that will be. Amen. Praise the Lord. We get a lot of exciting times with the Lord, don't we? And then he's got to give us a glorious body like unto his own to even describe to us what's after that. You ever thought about that? Because that's like just the beginning of the beginning. Now we're getting into the exceeding riches of his grace in the ages to come. See, if you started talking about that to us right now, we'd just all come apart. Praise God. Verse 19. I love this because you kind of wonder maybe a little bit. Well, the 24 elders were mentioned back there in verse 16 before the throne. What about the bride? Well, here she is in verse 19. The ark in the temple of God. Never forget that, what it represents, and what God has encouraged us way back in the Old Testament times, hasn't he? Where that ark was taken. And you'll see it found, pretty much said every time, the ark with the cherubim. There. One beaten piece of gold. Hallelujah. The covering. Isn't that sweet too? You know, the mercy seat is the covering. Amen. And let me tell you something. That precious bride is nothing but a complete work of mercy that's going to cover him. And remember this, as the word of God says, that the glory of man is the woman. Amen. Talks about that hair of the woman being the glory. And hallelujah, that we do. There's a covering to him that she is in such an intimate way to our Lord. But we see here the ark of the temple of God in the Holy of Holies. And then you notice here at the end it says again, the lightnings and the voices and the thunderings. Go back there and read about her in the cherubim, amen, in Ezekiel, Isaiah and all, about how the flashes of light, those burning lamps, praise God, the lightnings, hallelujah. Again, this speaks of the cherubim, the bride. And then you notice it says, oh my, another earthquake and great hail. Well, maybe this one, just maybe, it says in 21:1 of Revelation, a new heaven and a new earth. Amen? Could it be? I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. I love to dream. I love to dream in him. And to think about our time together and our honeymoon. Hallelujah. Remember that in Song of Solomon? She says, she rises up early. Let's get down to the garden. Let's get down to the garden. A lot of people say that that's kind of a sick thought. No, it's not. It's a glorious thought. That tribulation's going to be a garden. Hallelujah. A garden of righteousness prevailing. Hallelujah. Judgment hath come. And he will be glorified in it all, won't he? What a day it'll be. Because I have to tell you, it kind of gets me a little bit to watch the things that go on. I still want to be a lover of souls. But boy, it's a wicked time. And God's not going to be mocked. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's stand and be dismissed.